chapter 1, and also John chapter 18. Always got to turn to John's gospel, it seems like, lately. We'll read together James 1, 13 through 23, and then I'll read, after I pray, I'll read John chapter 18. When you find James chapter 1, you can stand with me. James chapter 1, verse 13 through verse 23. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
Do not err, my beloved brethren.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
By his own will he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be
in the Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath.
For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God.
Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Let's pray. Now, Father, I would ask you to bless the service tonight. Teach us some things, remind us of some things, really. And I pray, Lord, that we will grow, and we'll grow in grace. We'll grow in truth. We'll try to always help people. But really, I want to help people to see some things in the light of your word. I pray to that end that you would bring it to pass. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, if you would, please, take your Bible and turn back to John chapter 18. There's two verses that I want to look at here in a moment. Last week, last Sunday night, I preached a message on what is truth. Well, Pilate actually was the first person that asked that truth. If you'll look here in verses 37 and 38. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again into the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault. When Pilate asked that question, what is truth? He kind of asked it more in a mockingly way, like there is no such thing as absolute truth. Now, that is a question that I brought up last Sunday night, a little bit Sunday morning, more Sunday night. Is there truth? In fact, quite a while ago, I remember one of our men, we were talking about this, and he said, Pastor, I face this weekly almost, and certainly at least once a month when I discuss with people the idea of truth. Now, I said several things as we compared absolute truth to relativism, modernism, postmodernism. In the book of Judges, in chapter 21 and verse 25, the Bible says, In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That is a very sad postscript at the end of the book of Judges when it says, Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. And that is a sad story about where America and the average person wants to be in their life today. They want to be able to do that which was right in their own eyes. So just like when the book of Judges ended, and it's a sad postscript, So we are living that very much same thing today. When man is left to himself, you see what he does to other men. Utter disrespect. This morning in Sunday school, in this class, we discussed that man is depraved in every part, from his heart and his mind to his speech. Man is just a depraved individual. The verse in Judges is a lot like our world today. But the truth is, you can't live that way. You can't do what is right in your own eyes. Look back at James chapter 1. I should have told you to hold your finger there. Again, in verse 14. He said, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, his own desires, and then he is enticed. He's drawn away by his own lust. And verse 15 in that same chapter says, it ultimately leads to sin. Well, when you sin or when I sin, that affects other people. It always affects other people. It's never associated just with you. As a matter of fact, even our worship can become unacceptable to God. You cannot do what you want to do whenever you want to do it, however you think you ought to do it. You can't have your own brand of truth and live peaceably with one another. So we have to have a standard for truth, and we said last Sunday that the standard for truth must be the Bible. Now let me say a couple of things. First of all, the Bible is God's word to us. It is a miracle in of itself that we have a Bible. Here is a 66-book collection written by 40 different people over 1,500 different years approximately with zero contradiction in it. You know what the chances of something like that actually happening are? I mean, the Bible is a miracle. It's God's word to us. This is one of the things that makes Christianity different from all the other religions of the world. We have a Bible, a final authority, and we don't keep getting more revelation like the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and all that. We have a Bible, and it's been that. Secondly, we have a resurrected Savior, and none of the other religions have that either. Now, there's some people that will say, well, I don't even know if there is a God. You know, God doesn't need defending. Everybody knows there's a God. Your conscience tells you that there's a God. Creation tells you that there's a God. Everybody actually acknowledges that there is a God because they use something worldwide that everybody uses. And you know what we call that? A calendar. Okay, and the calendar changed from before Christ to after Christ in a recognition of Christ. And let me say this thirdly. The Bible works. Now, here is a simple truth. I don't know where I learned it. I learned it sometime years ago. If you live biblical principles out in your life on a daily basis, you'll find out that the Bible works. You ought to try it sometime. It's an amazing thing. Now, and this is a little repeat, 100 years or so ago, we had what preachers referred to as modernism. Before that, it was the Enlightenment people. And they would say, what is truth? Is this truth? Is that truth? But what is truth? Or our nation was actually built on biblical truth. Now we live in postmodernism days or relativism, and it goes something. There's a fly bugging me. What is truth for you is truth for you, and what is truth for me is truth for me. What is truth for me and you, if they're different, but that's okay. We can all be happy like this. That's postmodernism or relativism. This is what we live in. The big thing that today is this. There is no absolute truth. And our young people, when they go off to universities in many different classes, will be bombarded by this. Now, the next question that comes up is this. Pastor, can't we just tolerate everything? No. We just can't tolerate everything. Now, we can tolerate probably a lot more than we do because sometimes we have personal preferences that are not necessarily biblical convictions. But we can't tolerate everything. To tolerate everything is fundamentally anti-Christian. And a relativist will say something like to you goes like this, who are you to judge? Last Sunday, I said, I'm judgmental. And I think I even said, I think you ought to be like me and be judgmental. As a matter of fact, one time I said, I'm a judgmental, intolerant, and you can even call me a creep if you want to. And you know what? I think that's a compliment when you say stuff like that. So thank you for saying something like that. But I said that I was judgmental. Now, there is a philosophy that's even in churches today. Don't judge. Who are you to judge? We can't judge. So I want to ask you a question, and I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. And the first question that I want to ask is this. Is it okay to judge? Well, Pastor, I know a verse in the Bible that says, judge not. Okay, let's go to that verse in the Bible that says, judge not. And while you go to that one, we're going to go back to John chapter 7 in a minute. But let me read you. By the way, I shouldn't even have had to tell you where to go in Matthew chapter 7, because everybody that knows their Bible, or at least pretends to know their Bible, ought to at least know where that one that says judge not is, right? Because they seem to know how to quote it all the time. So in Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5, it says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in your brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out of the mote out of thine own eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So it does say at the end of verse 5, which we'll come back to, first take care of yourself, and then you help the brother cast the mote out of his own eye. It doesn't say you never judge. Now look at John chapter 7 and verse 24. But if you want to say it says judge not, the first verse, judge not, that you be not judged, and forget the rest of the context, okay. But as we go to John chapter 7 and verse 24, it says this. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Now one place it says judge righteous judgment. Another place it says, judge not that you be not judged. Making judgments is part of life. It just is. When you make a moral judgment, like I say, adultery is wrong, homosexuality is wrong, the transgender movement is wrong, that's being judgmental. And I have absolutely no problem whatsoever with being judgmental. None. It's part of life. But when you make a judgment, a moral judgment like that on somebody, someone is going to say, well, remember, the Bible says judge not. Like they really know the Bible. Like they have this earned doctorate degree in theology somewhere hidden away. Most don't even know what the Bible, what verse of the Bible those verses are in. But it's useful. Very useful to a relativist or somebody who wants to be tolerant of everything, a relativist to go after a Christian who is moral and uses it to attack you and to uses it to attack I today. They don't even really care about the actual truth of the matter. They just like it because it fits them at that time and in the scenario in which they are in their life. Now let's see what it says. If you look at Matthew 7 and 1, it says, judge not that you be not judged. If you look at John chapter 7 and verse 24, it says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgments. Huh. It almost looks like we have a problem. Because about 5 minutes ago, I said, the Bible can't contradict itself. It's a miracle. 66, remember I said that? 66 books, 40 authors, 1,500 different years, no contradictions. That's a miracle. So some people must read that evidently and say, well, Jesus just contradicted himself. But he can't contradict himself. The Bible can't contradict itself. So maybe there is a resolution to these two statements which actually make both of them true. Maybe using the term judge not isn't valid in every situation. Here is what Matthew chapter 7 says. When you point a finger at somebody else, just remember that there's three other fingers pointing back at you. You judge yourself first. Now, this is kind of a stupid illustration in some ways. I don't have a problem with judging a homosexual because I don't have a problem with it. I have a hard time believing anybody can have a problem with it if you want to know the truth. But I don't have a problem judging that. But there's three fingers pointing back at me that says, are you this way? And if I'm this way, and then I judge you for being that way, Matthew 7 says, thou hypocrite. But I'm not judging you without judging myself first. So those three fingers that are pointing back at me tell me I need to judge myself first before I can judge you. In 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12, Nathan came along. Nathan was a preacher. He came along and he told David about a man who had stolen some lambs. He said, David, what do you think about this guy? And David's like, that's just awful. That guy is terrible. I can't believe that guy would do that. Somebody ought to do something to him. And Nathan says, you know the story, David, you're that guy. Actually, he said, thou art the man. When David said somebody needs to do something to that guy, you know what David actually did? He just actually passed judgment on himself. He should have judged himself first before he worried about judging the other person. Actually, when Nathan gave him the scenario, he should have enough sense to connect the dots and said, ooh, that's me. But he, for some reason, missed that part. David, you took a man's wife. And then, that plan didn't work, so you had the man murdered. You're the guy. You're guilty. Matthew 7 does not say, don't judge. He said, if your judgment is righteous, you'll be judged righteously also. If your judgment is unrighteous, like David's was, you will be judged unrighteously also. But he never said it's wrong to judge. Now that has even crept into a lot of churches, especially the emergent churches. Well, now we can't judge. We've got to be tolerant to the point where some churches, sin is no longer on the menu. And to some of the modern liberal Christian thinking, we are to be tolerant and not judgmental also, which is not what Jesus taught. But he did teach judge righteous judgments. Verse 3 in Matthew chapter 7, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Here you are with a 4x4 in your own eye, and he's got a little toothpick in his eye. You ought to worry about yourself first. Take care of yourself first. Because verse 4 said, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye. Now, if you take that literally, and you put a beam this big in your eye, and that guy's got something little in your eye, in his eye, you're going to have a hard time even seeing to be able to do that. And that's kind of the point. You can't even see clearly when you've got these big old beams in your own eye. So you see the problem in everybody else. You might have a big problem yourself. So he says, take care of yourself first. So you conclude this. People who are right to judge. They are. You are right to judge. It's not hard to make some of the moral judgments that we make as Christians. It's just not hard. Now, you're going to be accused of being judgmental and intolerant. I suggest you take that as a compliment if you want to know the truth. Because you are being judgmental. But if you're judging righteous judgments, you are correct. So when I judge, and I do, and when you judge, and you do probably also, just be sure you're careful and that you judge righteous judgments. Make sure the beam is out of your eye first, then you can judge righteous judgments. But if we have our own problems, our judgments are going to be unclear. That's what Matthew 7 really is all about. It doesn't say never judge, or you can't tell somebody what is right or wrong. As a matter of fact, we do that every day. We have courts. There's judges that are going to be elected this November. You know what judges do? They judge. You believe in judges. If I go to your house today and I like your automobile better than mine, which you wouldn't have to have a really good one for that to happen, and I decide to take it, you're going to call the police, and you're hoping the judge, and we go to court, and you know what? You're hoping the judge judges in your favor. But if you're tolerant, I guess you're going to have to just accept the fact that I felt like I needed today your vehicle more than you do, so we ought to be okay with that, right? Say, well, Pastor, that's a little bit over the edge, isn't it? But that's where it leads to. It leads to stupidity and stupid thinking. It doesn't even make sense. Judgments, making judgments is wise. You just have to make righteous judgments. It's part of life. It's inevitable. It just is. And it has to happen. Secondly, I said, I'm intolerant. Now, what is a good Bible definition of the word intolerant? As I listen to the debates, there are certain things that I hear the candidates say and say, you are just nuts. You're just wrong. What in the world are you talking about? You know, you do that. You ought to sit there with Chris. I mean, she's not watching the television 10 minutes and she's angry. I mean, and she is too. And I don't even mind saying that with her sitting here because she knows she's guilty of that. Because some of the things that people say are so, especially that female candidate, I can't remember her name, but anyway, she says some things that are so far left that it's unbelievable. And then you get Chucky Boy up there and you're like, what is this guy saying? And it's like, he's got to go. I'm not supposed to say that from the pulpit, I forgot. But some of these, you know, when you go to vote, you know you make a judgment. Judgment is part of life. It's inevitable. So you can't tolerate everything. So let's define what it is to be intolerant. Here is a relativist. The only thing that I will not tolerate is your intolerance. Now, that almost makes no sense. As soon as you say something is wrong, you are intolerant. And you're not to be tolerated. That's self-contradictory. In a worldview of tolerance, all the answers on the test are right. Everybody's opinions and answers and their ideas are all okay in the world today. If you want to be a transgender, good for you. If you want to be a homosexual, good for you. If you want to marry, you're a guy and you want to marry a guy and you're a girl and you want to marry a girl, we're all good with that. And we're supposed to tolerate that. I don't tolerate that. I'm not good with that. That's as wicked as the devil himself. But a true relativist in their tolerance philosophy, which is part of the problem with the left wing, is that's their philosophy. Their worldview is, of tolerance is, everybody's opinions and answers are right. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Tolerance in the Bible is this. You see the answer. You know the answer. The answer is either right or it's wrong. Okay? One is acceptable. One is not acceptable. You write on the test, 2 plus 2 is 6. Now, that's unacceptable. It's wrong. But I love you, and I respect you. Maybe I failed in teaching you something, or maybe I failed in communicating with you, so I'm going to try to help you. But you are accountable for the wrong answer. You will be held accountable to God for your sins. You just will. Galatians 6:1 says this, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, let me pause. If you tell somebody they've got a fault there, you know you're being judgmental. Right? If any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So what I want to do is I want to try to help you. But you're accountable for your wrong answer until you get it right. We don't try to demean anybody when we judge people. We don't try to cut anybody down. But believe it or not, there is a standard of biblically right and biblically wrong. And so you tell them the truth. But you are to do it respectfully. That really is a biblical view of tolerance. Tolerance is not everybody's answers are okay and everybody's answers are correct. We all can't be right when we are at opposite ends of the spectrum. Now, here's the way it works. The Bible teaches the resurrection. It teaches the resurrection of Christ. It teaches the bodily resurrection of Christ. It teaches the bodily resurrection of people. The saved will be raised. The lost will be raised to judgment. It teaches resurrection. New Age and Hinduism teach reincarnation. Can both be right? They both can't be right. To a relativist, they say, oh yeah, they're both right. How can they both be right? How can one believe be resurrection and one be reincarnation and they're both right? It don't even make sense. Or the Bible teaches this. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Or he is not. Biblical Christianity says, yes, he is. A Muslim says, no, he's not. A Jehovah's Witness says, no, he's not. An atheist says, no, he's not. A Bible-believing Christian says, yes, he is, absolutely. Can they all be right? They can't all be right. It's not possible. It wouldn't even make sense. In other words, this is how it would be in a totally tolerant society. He is God, and he's not God. And we're all okay with that. Does that make sense to you? Anybody that can think at all that couldn't make any sense of that. I can't accept that. All ideas are not equal. Everybody cannot be true. Somebody has to be wrong. Some things are more important than other things. That's true. Maybe some things we could tolerate. Maybe if a guy wears his hair this long, well, we kind of just, you know, grin and let it go. Maybe some people won't. I know that. But, you know, maybe that's something that's we could, okay. But there's some things we can't slide on. You just can't tolerate everybody's views. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Paul wrote, but speaking the truth in love, there is a truth, but we are to speak the truth in love. We're to show respect, but tell the truth. I think that is, the balance of grace and truth. I think the best definition in the Bible for tolerance is in John 1:14. And I think when we do this, we pattern our Lord's ministry. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth is biblical true tolerance. Here's the truth. You don't deserve to be saved. But grace is God sent his sons that we might be. The truth is, some people's lives are an absolute mess. That's just the truth. Grace is, let us try and help you. Let God try and help you. Recently, we had a guy and a wife come out to see check out our RU ministry on a Friday night. And he wasn't a believer in Christ, but he knows that he has a problem with abuse, substance abuse, and his life is a mess. His wife said both of our lives are a mess, if that's exactly what she said. But grace is, okay, your life is a mess and what you're doing is wrong. We made that judgment. I actually made that judgment in that case. But let us try to help you. That's grace. That's biblical tolerance. You were wrong, but I'm going to try to help you. Make a wrong right. Tolerance says, no. It's all good. It's not all good. You know, people recognize when their life is a mess. They can actually figure that out Sometimes. Not all the time, evidently. But sometimes. Here's another truth. I have it better than I deserve. But here's grace. I am a child of God, and God wants and desires to bless me. I don't deserve it, but that's what he wants to do. Tolerance is not that we tolerate all ideas. Tolerance is not we accept any answer that you young people put down on a test, because we don't. Tolerance is we are accountable for wrong answers. We cannot accept false beliefs. However, we want to help you. That's our grace. Some things we can tolerate, but biblical things have a right and a wrong. Now, this kind of thinking that we're facing today, and I spent a couple Sunday nights on it, is kind of like unbelievable. Break into a relativist house and watch how fast he becomes an absolutist. You absolutely cannot take my TV, and I'm absolutely sure of it. Well, wait a minute. I thought you said we were all equal. Life doesn't work that way, does it? Everybody knows that. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The last verse in the book of Judges doesn't work. Now, here's where it has led to. Homosexuality is okay. No, it isn't. Now, I'm judgmental and intolerant, but that's okay. What about pedophile? What about pedophilia? Why not? You're going to tolerate that? See, some of this stuff, where does it stop? In a philosophy or worldview of tolerance, there really is no stopping. It just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And to finally, somebody might wake up someday and say, wow, we're out of control. And then usually it's too late. What about murder? What's wrong with being a Nazi? Shouldn't we tolerate it? They killed however many millions of Jews. We're supposed to tolerate that and say it's okay? By the way, some of the history books want to erase that from history. How do you erase that many millions of people being killed? How do you erase that from history? Wendell Rogers and I were out door knocking in Bible college one day, and we door knocked on the house of a priest. And I don't know how Wendell thought of this, but he asked him, what do you do about the Dark Ages? And I thought, Wendell, where'd you get that from? And you know what the priest told us? We try to not think about that. How do you not think about 50 million people being martyred? You don't just erase things like that from history. But here's where it goes. Don't you impose your morality on me. But it's wrong. What about gay rights? What's that word? Sharia law, in the way the Muslims treat women. Would you ladies like to be treated like that? Over there they are. By the way, I was listening to an imam, and he said that they could live at peace with us in America just so long as we would submit to Sharia law. Well, I'm not in favor of submitting to Sharia law. And he said, well, if you just submit to Sharia law, we'll live at peace with you. Well, that's not going to happen. But that's what they want to happen. Because we judge them to be morally wrong. That's what we judge. When people do that which is right in their own mind, it creates all kinds of confusion, of which the Bible says God is not the author of. Is it right to judge? Yes, it is right to judge. Just make righteous judgment. I even think Rick Warren got on that kick for quite a while. I haven't paid much attention to him lately. But he got on that kick of don't judge. We can't be judgmental. Is it right to be intolerant? As long as it's accompanied with grace and truth and respect and honor? Yes, it is. But Pastor, what about people wanting to be happy? You know, I think God wants people to be happy. But I don't think God is willing to sacrifice his holiness on the altar of your happiness. I think God wants us holy before he worries about us being happy. And I think people are looking for happiness. Isn't there a song? It's looking for love in all the wrong places. I was going to say, isn't there a song that says looking for happiness in all the wrong places? I was close. But People are looking for happiness in all the wrong places. You find happiness in a relationship with the Lord. And there is a right and there is a wrong. And on contradicting views, one person is right, therefore, of necessity, the other person has to be wrong. And it's coming into religion and it's coming into churches. Religious pluralism. We're all okay. That's not possible that we're all okay. What really happens? Man becomes his own final authority. I take the authority that God has given in his word and I become my own pope. Pope Jeff. I tell myself what to do, what's right, what's wrong, and that's the way that is. The truth is, that doesn't work. We want to help people. God wants to help people. He wants to save people, and he wants to change people's lives. But God has a standard of right and wrong. Within every relationship, there are some things that are right, and there are some things that are wrong. And God expects us, if we're wrong, to make it right. Isn't the first step in salvation realizing that you've been wrong? Isn't that like the fundamental thing about repentance? Agreeing with God and recognizing that you've been wrong? That goes all the way through your life. So anyway, it's not wrong to judge. And you're going to even have Christians tell you today, don't judge. It's still right to judge. And you're going to have people tell you when you're living in a world where the philosophy is more and more becoming, let's just be tolerant. But I'm telling you, there's some things we cannot tolerate. If I was to go out, my brother-in-law did this. If I was to go out tomorrow, Chris and I have been talking about getting a vehicle. Maybe I got one picked out already. And tomorrow I go home, go shopping when she's at work, and bring it home. Park it in my driveway and say, honey, look what I got. My brother-in-law actually did that. Jody sent John, her husband, they live on Tug Hill, and they get a lot of snow. And he's plowing with his four-wheeler. It'll take him hours to plow. So Jody says, why don't you go to the store and get a plow for your truck? Now, he's already got a four-wheel drive pickup. Okay, come on, boys. They got two boys. Get in the truck, they go to the store. He comes home, he's got a brand-new pickup. 10-cylinder Ford, big giant of a thing. Brand-new snow plow on it. Everything is every bells and whistle you can imagine. Jody goes out into the driveway. What are you doing? He's like, you said go get a plow. She goes, I didn't mean all of that. I would have liked to have been there for that conversation. I will say this, though. John did keep that truck for a few years anyway, but then he got rid of it. 6 miles to the gallon, the truck he bought was. 10 cylinders. They can move a lot of snow. But I don't think if I did that, I don't think my wife would tolerate that so much. She would judge me to have made a mistake. We judge all the time. It's part of life. Now, not everybody's going to like it. We're intolerant to a lot of things. Not everybody likes that. And when we vote, we look at a candidate and say, right, wrong, right, wrong, right, wrong, wrong, right. That's what we do. We judge on that. When you vote, your vote is how you've judged. One candidate wrong, one candidate right. Sometimes more wrong, less wrong than the other one is wrong even. You know, but you judge that. It's part of our life. So don't get caught up into this nonsense that we can't judge, that we have to tolerate everybody and everything, and we're all okay. And in the end, in religion, we're all going to be okay. It's all going to pan out. It's not going to pan out for everybody. Not everybody's a child of God. Not everybody enjoys heaven and eternity, the new heaven and the new earth. Not everybody does. You mean God won't just accept everybody? No. You know that song we sing sometimes, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come to thee. You can come to God just as you are. But God does not expect you to stay just as you are. And I don't think when that song was written, that's what it meant. Come as you are and stay as you are. God expects us to be conformed to his image. Anyways, I'll be quiet. Let's pray. Father, we do judge. In a lot of things, we are intolerant. And it's part of life. Your word doesn't tell us, and I don't know how it's got so messed up in our day and age today. Your word doesn't tell us that we are to never judge, but we are to judge ourselves first. And once that happens, we judge righteous judgments. In fact, the righteous man judges all things. But Lord, help us to have a biblical view of tolerance, one of truth and grace, or grace and truth. There is a right answer, there is a wrong answer. But we do need to try to help people see the right answer and make the appropriate changes in their life. And Lord, help our young people. They are facing this at an all-time high, maybe epidemic level in our country. And it is creeping into Christians and it is creeping into some churches. It makes it harder and harder to stand on biblical truth. Nevertheless, Paul said, having done all to stand, stand therefore. So we need to stand on what is right, and we need to not tolerate that which is biblically wrong. And I pray that as we try to train up young people for your glory and honor, they'll stand for truth. I pray that those of us that have stood for truth would continue to stand for truth and not compromise. And we would indeed judge righteously. But at the same time, we will try to help those people make the wrongs in their life right. God help us in this whole area. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, would you come, please?